Is it?
Welcome everyone to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 33. I'm Joe Steinkamp with my cohort in crime, my cohort who understands the way of things in travel. I turn to him for all my airfare needs. It's Mr. JJ Amato. Hello, sir. How are you doing this evening?
The simple answer to a lot of that, actually, it's there. google.com/flights.
Ooh.
It's not the most exhaustive flight search. Of course, okay. It doesn't have Southwest, but it is simple and it's fast.
And so, at the time of this recording, Southwest has announced big airfare sale-y type things, especially...
Oh, right. They never have an airfare sale. Oh.
No. Cattle car airways. Cool. Get on board. Hey, everyone. By the time you hear this, you might be listening to us on Apple iPhone 6S or 6S Plus. And if so, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. But hey, we've got so much other stuff to talk about than Apple and iOS 9, which was released last week. And if you want to know more about it, head on over to Apple This and listen to our friends over there. They've got a bunch of podcasts and a bunch of guides and how-tos. And it's a great way to catch up on things.
I was a huge fan of Scott Dabbert's guides. He does a really good job. He's written a couple guest posts for us in the past, too. He always does the really good what's new in accessibility. It's just a great summary. So check him out. He ends up writing on a whole bunch of different blogs, including AppleVis and some others. So,
and there's a 48,000-word review of iOS 9 floating around out there, in case you're really... Yeah, it's a mainstream 10,000 review, but that's a bit much. Anyway, so that's out there. You could do it while, you know, walking on a treadmill or, you know, jumping jacks or anything like that, because, hey, what would be better to go with exercising but a great long review to help you get past those exercises a little bit faster with our great sponsor, Blind Alive.
Don't just live, be alive. And wouldn't you much rather listen to a Blind Alive workout tutorial than a 38,000 or
48,000 word review of iOS 9? Yes, I would think so.
Hey, you know, we're going to tell you a little bit later, by the way, how you can get some freebies from them. So stay tuned, and we will have that coming up a little bit later in the show.
And I'm going to preview, well, not really preview. I'm going to go back to some people were talking about the multipath audio that I had done and choose your own adventure. How would you like that in radio play form? That's right. We're going to revisit an oldie but a goodie, codename Cygnus. And I'll go through that in case you haven't heard it. It's really kind of fun. And hopefully there's going to be a new set of missions this year. They keep saying coming in 2015. Maybe that's, they've got a couple of months left, but they could possibly get there. Huh? I'd like it.
That would be great. And I have the Twitter web interface. You know, there's a lot of Twitter apps and clients. Sometimes you're not at a computer where you can install your own software or buy a phone. It turns out the Twitter website actually has quite a bit of accessibility, but many people, myself included, may not have really played with this too much. So if you're in a bind or in a pinch especially, or you want to see how a web app might sound on your screen reader, I'm going to demo that a little bit later on.
Ooh, bypass those keystrokes. Very helpful. Actually, I've used NVDA with the Twitter web client often. And so if you see me tweet from the web, it's either because I have NVDA going, or I'm doing it through EasyChirp, or possibly I'm doing it with Zoom Text. Zoom Text has a new update out for public preview, which allows to work with Windows 10. So for those of you who have been wanting some screen magnification to go with your Windows 10, then you can run on over to AISquared.com and get this. And of course, if you have your ESA or other gradability type plans, you'll already have the ability to get this too.
And the then enhanced when it goes out service, of is the, yeah, is the, the extra sensory perception plan.
Yes, that is exactly it. And you must have that in order. No,
got you. Or you can pay $49, or if you bought it 10 after June,
right,
it's free.
Right. There's the little handy table they have there for it and Window Eyes.
How much space do you have, Joe? I saw a thing that you can do stuff across four monitors. Is that a Windows 10 thing or is that a Zoom Text thing?
No, there are some people who are in admin who want to be able to, say, look at a document and edit with this one and go back and forth. Or there are some people who have enough peripheral vision that they can actually span their, you know, video across four monitors. You know, you say that, but there are actually some video games that actually do use four monitors where you can set one in front and two on your sides and one in back. There's some racing games that actually do support
four monitors. So you have the full 360 view.
Yeah, so you can look around you. That's crazy. That kind of thing. Yeah, it requires a lot of video cards and power and stuff like that. But in this case, Windows 10 and the ability to use it is really cool. I've been on the beta team for Zoom Decks for a very, very long time, full disclosure. So I can't really speak too much of this release because I actually am using a release a little bit past this. So I don't really, check your show notes. Check your release notes for AI Squared when you download this copy to learn about all the new features. But the big one, of course, being that of Windows 10 support, the same as Magic 13, having Windows 10 support and Windows 8.1 support. Looks like they have a new text viewer, which allows you to be able to read text kind of seamlessly with a you can use your cursor keys and your routing keys to be able to go back and forth with magnification. It gets kind of fuzzy for me here about how they're actually able to do this without blocking up some of the screen, but that's what it says here in the documentation. Also, it looks like the expressive vocalizer voices are now available. Those were available in JAWS 15. They're now available for Magic 13. And it also seems like they've got some great fixes and bugs for those fixes, you know, like they always would.
Yeah, something here about mouse border colors. I don't even know. So what is that? Is that like the cursor of the mouse? Is that what that's referring to? Or
yeah, mouse border support is said that if you run your mouse across a dark background, like a lot of websites these days are moving to more white on black, and you can lose the mouse pointer in some cases if it doesn't reverse or invert automatically.
Ah.
And so this way you're able to kind of see the mouse and it stands out a bit more. I've always enjoyed what they've done with Magic and some of the updates. And I always have said on many occasions, let me correct that. I've said this on many of occasion that having that ability to use Magic and learn Magic, if you're going into the JAWS world, is very, very helpful. The more integrated they are, so you can actually, you know, use what vision you have, but also you're learning a lot of the JAWS hotkeys at the same time.
So which that is way, exactly why AI keeps talking about their want to head towards that same transition at some point.
Correct. Yep. Because exactly. It's been a great tool for Freedom Scientific for a very, very long time. So you can get Magic 13 now if you have your SMAs ready. If not, they are happy to sell you a copy of Magic right now. You can learn more about Magic and what features are new in version 13 by heading on over to Freedom Scientific, or hey, you can also look at it in our show notes. We got a link right there to it.
So as far as Zoom Text and Magic, before we move on here, it's the same deal with the screen reader as far as the Edge browser, right? Not a lot of support at this point, or is it?
Right, actually, and some of that is Edge itself. They recently had an update on the Windows Insider builds that allowed a lot more HTML configuration and things to pass through. So it's not necessarily the fault of the ATVs at this point. It really is waiting for Microsoft to give more features and more flexibility and more enhancements to Microsoft Edge. So they're still not extensions or add-ons like that yet, not even on the Insider builds, if I'm thinking right. So that's still to come. And you have to also remember Canvas is totally new because they wanted that to work with Surface and Touch and all that drawing stuff Apple was talking about on the iPhone just a little while ago. Some of that stuff kind of sort of happens with Canvas too in the way that Edge works. So it's a brand new browser from the ground up, and Internet Explorer wasn't accessible right out of the box. Now, I'm not being a Microsoft apologist here. I know that sounds like I'm kind of sort of ducking and dodging. I do think it would have been nice to have had it at the beginning, but you know, there's also still Internet Explorer still on Windows 10 and Firefox. So you do have accessible browsing. You just don't have it in the new.
And even Chrome in some Edge situations.
Right. And not everybody's jumping on the Edge bandwagon either. So
no,
it would be nice, but you're not like out of lurch if you upgrade to Windows 10.
And there's, of course, a lot of Windows 10 resources. Joe has updated his post on that. If you go over to Blind Bargains, you can get lots and lots and lots of how-tos and helps and much more for Windows 10 over at blindbargains.com. And we'll, of course, you can link back to that. And
that
you can
was so
read
much easier to Windows write 10. Than learning chemistry. Oh, math. Yuck.
Oh, man. That, you know, I thought I had a better segue than you. I was going to say, Internet Explorer is actually older than this next girl that we're going to talk about.
It is older than the 11-year-old child that's featured in this article. I like that. Yes. Sounds very good.
So I'm going to try this. This is Hari Bimaraju. Bimaraju. Jeez, you thought Banerjee and Shubham or whatever it was. But
Fred Smith invented. No, wait.
Yeah, you know, well, she's an 11-year-old science student who took an interest in chemistry. She's not even taking chemistry in school, but decided to take an interest in chemistry.
Sounded interesting at the time, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the sign of a good student. They just wanted to learn. And then in the process of that, she realized that she wanted to make chemistry learnable by anyone. So she created a tool. I couldn't tell if it's an app or how exactly this is being done, but to make the periodic table more accessible for the blind, and also getting into the atomic structure and the atoms and how they're built and everything. Anyway, she's in a contest. She might win $25,000 for this.
Wow. That is super cool.
This is really again, cool.
One of those where someone thinks of something for their friends or somebody they know and just think, hey, you know, this would make their lives easier. And bam, that is just amazing.
I love it. You know, she did some Java, you know, she learned Java from someone in her family. You know, it's always about the who is influencing you. You know, I learned a bit of computer programming when I was 9 or 10. And, you know, kids, if they're given that opportunity, you never know. There's some really interesting, and, you know, I don't know if this particular app or tool may or may not be of much use to a lot of people, but just the fact that she's interested in this and in this is really exciting and promising. And, you know, maybe
where does it take her next? Yeah, I think you hit exactly. It right there. If this is her first steps, what happens when she really puts her mind to it or gets some, you know, experience behind her in this or any other field she just gets interested in? That is just amazing.
Really cool.
Now, I saw this next story tweeted by Sina Burham, and it is the survey for those who are blind and already computer majors and have already, maybe they're going to move on to a master's degree or something like that, but it's kind of asking about their experiences with being blind and what it was like and how they did it. Is that what I understand the survey? It's our survey of the week, Jay, by the way.
We have two surveys of the week.
That's true.
Surveys of the week. Yeah, this one is for blind computer science graduates who use a screen reader. I'm assuming they're going to want more recent grads as opposed to maybe someone who graduated 20 years ago. But that's just my assumption. But just wanting to get your impressions or, you know, which tools you're using. And, hey, I think they're, yeah, you actually get a little, well, $5 Amazon gift card. So it's really more about the results. But hey, you know, you can buy a USB cable or something with that.
There you go.
But there is a follow-up.
What if many lightning cables that are out there?
No, you can't even get a lightning cables cost too much. You can't.
Oh, okay.
Well, sorry. You want an official one. But there's also a follow-up thing that you could get into and make a little more money. But still, the research is definitely invaluable. It's the University of Washington doing this one, who's done a bunch of accessibility research over the past couple years. So we've looked to that. If you want to play with that and make a few bucks and also provide some valuable input. Speaking of input and valuable input and surveys, In Data,
our friend Wade Wingler, friend of the show, over at Easter Seals Crossroads.
I believe I was on. I'm trying to remember. I think a long time ago, I ended up on his podcast to talk about AT guys.
I've been there, and I've worked with him, and he's worked on some of our This Year in AT. In fact, he contributed an article about non-blindness-related AT stories for 2015. It was a really cool thing that he sent out I could be a part of. 2014, actually. Sorry. I'm already getting ready to hit him up for 2015. Yeah, that's how that works. That's how podcasts work. You mention your link, we'll mention our link. No, I'm kidding. The podcast that he does, which is really cool, is definitely worth listening to. But they're working on a new app, and they're seeking feedback about that app. And everybody could go and help Wade and his team come up with some good ideas for what's going on over at Easter Seals.
I tweeted at them because the first question was, are you a user of assistive technology, or are you someone who trains or advises others on it? I'm like, what if you're both? He wrote back, it doesn't matter, just pick either one. So that's how you solve that little barrier. I'm like, all these could apply to me, should be check boxes, but you know, that's okay. You can go take that. That's just a quick little survey, just want some feedback. I don't know exactly if it's just going to be a resource app or what, but hey, you can go check that out.
You could speak your mind as you speak your braille. There's this new app thing that we have an article about here on blindbargains.com that you wrote about. Tell me about this thing that involves Braille and Bard books. Is that what I understand?
Oh, it's kind of it. It's called Voice Braille. I almost want to say Voice Dream Reader. No, this is Voice Braille Reader.
a little different.
This came to us via a post on David Goldfield's blog. And he found that it's an app that it's essentially a grade 2 to speech Braille translator. So you can get books from Bard, or if you had the Braille files from Bookshare, of course, there's other ways to do Bookshare. Or if you just had other BRF files or BRL files, it will read them to you. I haven't tried this one out yet, but you can. There's a voice Braille reader Lite, which lets you read up to 5 minutes per day. It's an interesting demo way to go about it, but hey, well, that works. Or you can pay $15 if you find it valuable. Now, there's other ways to create Braille. You could use Duxbury, but of course, that's a lot of money. You could get a free Braille translator tool, such as the Windows version of NFB Trans, which is still out there, I believe. But on your iPhone, if you have especially, you know, Bard Braille books and you don't have a Braille display, you just want it read to you, $15, it might be a worthwhile tool. So if you guys are able to check this one out, let us know what you think. And
some people were saying that they wish they could read the Bard Braille books on their Android phones or devices.
You can't at this point.
Okay. That's why I was wondering, because I wasn't sure.
You would have to, kind of the same thing, you'd have to download, well, you can't even download it on Android. If you wanted to do it, you'd have to download it in Windows. You could use the Windows NFB Trans, I would think, to convert that to text and then move it to your Android phone. The problem you're going to have...
The Braille back.
Well, the problem, if you translate it to grade one and then bring it to your phone, you're going to lose all of your navigations and all that. You know, I'm not sure if you have that much. Do the Bard Braille books have that, though? Do they have headings and things like that?
That is a very good question. Off the top of my head, I don't know. There's too many ways of reading things in my head lately.
So, yeah, it's definitely a roundabout way. And you could fault Bard for not supporting Braille, but, you know, Android's Braille support is pretty shaky in the first place. So, you know, I understand why that hasn't even happened a lot.
Yeah, I'm very here lately. People have been using the word deal breaker a lot. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a curmudgeon once again, but it works 75% of the time. And here lately in software, not just blindness related software, in software in general, I've just become kind of numb to something shipping with bugs or unfinished or... God, I'm starting to sound like I'm talking about Windows 10 again. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next story. So our friends Orbit Research are teaming up with APH to bring... You know, I should have moved this up at the top. Our friends APH and Orbit Research are teaming up to bring a new scientific calculator. This actually would have gone right up there at the top of the 11-year-old. This
did, well, yeah, you could have put it next to her, too. Did that get talked about at the convention?
I think Larry spoke about it at convention. I think we had a conversation about it.
I know we're talking about the TI-84.
Yeah.
This is not the TI-84. This is a newer update to the scientific variety.
Oh.
So this is a scientific calculator. There used to be one that was a few $100. Very limited scientific calculator. This one seems to do a lot more. It is the, what's the model number here? TI-30SX. Again, modified, kind of like they did with the 84 Plus, where there's like a little attachment that comes onto the thing, and then that lets you do you can review text, you can change the speed, you can do all the other various things, and everything that scientific calculator does is accessible now. So that's out, $399, so a little more expensive than other scientific calculators, but if it's something you need, probably more, would you say middle school? Because by the time you get into high school, you're more into the graphing calculator, that 84 plus, but
I would think
if you're in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, you're not really into all that yet. This might be, you know, the good stepping stone.
Unless you're 11-year-old learning Java, then...
You're right. She's probably already way beyond.
Yeah, she's way past that. Definitely. It's a neat hobby for her. For this, she built this as a Radio Shack kit. That's what she... No, I'm kidding. We also have a new Twitter account to follow. MathML3 is out there to provide information and resources about MathML in HTML. So I saw this fly right by and thought, hey, this kind of fits right next to the calculator story. So if you were learning more about web-based math or wanting to do more with MathML, this might be a resource you want to follow.
There was that CSUN presentation. We've mentioned it before, too, about all of that. That one that they crammed way at the end of the CSUN conference. And we did, I believe it was Jeff that talked about it a little bit on our post-CSUN podcast, talking about the math accessibility in the current. Now, of course, that was in March, so some things have changed, but that's how you can keep up to date with MathML and something that is definitely kind of being expanded and updated.
Hey, also being expanded and updated is Acapella TTS 4 NVDA.
Yeah, what is this, like a little bug fix release? 1.2, a children's voice. I didn't know. There's an Acapella children's voice?
Sure. Patrick probably already has it. If he does, it might show up here while we're talking.
You know, we'll do this. Okay. Let's see if we can get a sample of the children's voice.
Hi, my name is Emilio, and I listen to the Blind Bargains Cast to help me fall asleep at night.
And you know, hey, there's a voice for all occasions, right? I guess that's
which,
you know,
which voice? Yes, Android. Which voice? Yes.
You can't get which voice for NVDA yet.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Anna would be like thrilled. That would be awesome.
You know what is cool? You know what is actually really, really cool? Speaking of, well, actually going from the Windows over to the Mac, not as good of a segue as my last segue, but this is cool. Xcode is the language that you would use if you wanted to write stuff for iOS especially. And that's always been a bit demystifying is how you would do that accessibly. We actually talked about this a little bit back in June. Yeah,
Hello World was kind of not fun to try and get into in the beginning, and Xcode was a little hard to jump into, so it seems like Alex Hall has demystified it.
Oh, yeah. There is a lot on this AppleVis guide. It's a pretty... I didn't see how many words it was, but...
Oh, it was 48,000, maybe. Oh, man, there's my bar for everything.
Yep. If you send me a 48,000 word art, well, I don't know if you know if we have room on our server for that.
I am way too lazy. I can promise you that will never happen.
Yeah, me either. But if you want to get into programming for iOS, I'm going to look at this. Of course, you need a Mac to program for the iPhone. This is Apple's rules. This is how it is.
Absolutely. And at the time we record this, there's a new public beta of El Capitan available. So there's actually and watchOS 2.0. So... this is the Apple season. Now is the time. But if you want to learn how to program these things, maybe you want to have one of those universal apps that works across Apple TV, iOS 9, iPad, and iPhone. This is a great way to start learning it and getting out there and learning how to code and joining everybody else on the great big Apple bandwagon.
That's good. This is really needed. As we've talked about before, we need more blind iOS developers. And so definitely, hopefully this helps bridge some of those gaps. And we can also see what's still missing. And we can go from there.
Earlier this year, we heard about PlayStation 4 getting some rudimentary TTS support. And, of course, we've heard that the Apple TV will be having games on board. So it looks like we're having some more accessible gaming options. But add to the iOS and Apple TV love and PlayStation 4, the Xbox One. Like came out on Major Nelson, who is Major Nelson on Twitter, but he's really Larry Harib, who is the voice of the Xbox community since, going back to the Xbox original. I almost said Xbox One. It goes Xbox, the original Xbox, which was large, to the Xbox 360, and now to the Xbox One. Well, Xbox One is getting Windows 10-like features, if not parts of Windows 10, in it for streaming of its games and the like. And a lot of people said, well, it seems kind of silly. Why wouldn't there be narrator or other accessibility enhancements added to it? Well, lo and behold, it looks like that may be a thing. The Microsoft Accessibility Twitter feed kicked this out and said narrator is coming to the Xbox. Now, the clip here, unfortunately, doesn't actually demonstrate it. But in the background, they feature different options that are coming up. And in there is accessibility and in there narrator and other things we're seeing. So high contrast and other options are coming. It is in what's called preview phase. So if you've heard me mention Windows Insider, Xbox Insider was first. And that was a program that allowed people with the Xboxes to play with versions of the Xbox software before it was released. So they were getting kind of the beta program, if you will. And so this is out and available to those who are inside the Xbox Preview Insider group and should be coming probably before Christmas, I would think. Now, before you get excited, Xbox is kind of expensive, although there may be a price reduction war coming. PlayStation 4 has just lowered the price of the console in Japan, and there is rumor that they're going to do so in Europe. It might end up being that they lower the price here in the United States and Xbox would join them. So there is a possibility of getting a cheaper Xbox with, oh my gosh, narrator. Now the games themselves may or may not talk, but getting through the menu system.
Even if you get a few.
I was about to say, if you can at least get to launch it like Mortal Kombat or other ones, then that's a lot easier than having to memorize everything right now with no speech.
Well, if you want to go a little more low-tech in your gaming experience, we have some news from 64-Ounce Games, the makers of lots of accessible board games and kits, accessibility kits for board games. They have a partnership with a company called Calliope Games. Looks like they make a lot of games for kids and adults. They want to, they're having a whole bunch of new games coming out from 64-Ounce Games, and they've really been doing a lot over the past couple months. Anyway, they relaunched their website and came back online a few weeks ago, and it's been doing a lot in general. In case you just haven't been following it, the renaissance of tabletop games in general over the past few years, it's definitely been a big thing. I know we have a huge store in town where you can go down and buy all sorts of these games, or you can just play them with people. So there's places in many cities around the country where you can join tabletop gaming clubs or board game clubs, and you can get to know people and play games. So if you wanted to join one of these, you could bring some accessibility kits from 64-Ounce Games and then make some of these mainstream games accessible. So some really cool stuff from 64-Ounce Games and a really growing selection. Back, they just had a few last year. I went on their website a couple weeks ago, and they have a few dozen different games now. So there's all sorts of different types of games, different genres, and all sorts of different
things. I saw several people on my timeline talking about purchasing Exploding Kittens. No, not the actual felines. Oh. Blowing up. No, it's actually a card game called Exploding Kittens, and several people like that. It's like Cards Against Humanity. I have not played it myself, but I'm very intrigued, for several of people that I follow have purchased it and have said nice things about it. So that's kind of neat. I don't go to this website very often because, unfortunately, it becomes in a giant wish list, and I just don't have that kind of coin just yet to spend here. Those guys are amazing and love the overlays and things that they do. So definitely check them out and go back through the archives, hear that old interview that you were talking about, because it is neat to get the perspective on how they approach their craft.
That is cool. And that interview was when they were just starting out from about a year and a half ago. They were the Kickstarter was going on, and you know, come a long way since then. So really cool to check that out.
Yeah, if you've caught up on all your BBQs, go back through our archives and hear some interviews Jay has done with people who are still with us, or they were a flash in the pan in the AT industry. I occasionally actually go through our podcast listings and go, oh my gosh, that was a thing for a while. Now they're not a thing anymore. So there's a lot of stuff there in the old BB audio archives, and as well as our news archives. It's always good to go back and get a take on what was and what is through blindbargains.com.
Want to let you know that descriptive exercise routines are now available from Blind Alive. Current offerings include a gentle workout set, two levels of cardio, two levels of weights, a stability ball, and boot camp. Now, these workouts can either be downloaded to your computer or sent to you on a CD. For more information, visit Blind Alive on the web at www.blindalive.com, or you can email support@blindalive.com. Now, they have some exciting announcements to share over the next few weeks, and you can be in the know by subscribing to their newsletter. Now, check this out. Once you confirm your subscription, you'll also receive a free gift, a free morning stretch to help you start your day at your very best. Check them out and subscribe at www.blindalive.com. Got a lot more coming up, including Joe's review of a really cool audio game, as well as an accessible toothbrush.
Sure. That sounds something. Yeah, you should just hear it in the last word. All that and more coming up on Blind Bargains Cast 33. A couple of weeks ago, I showed you Multipath Audio, a neat choose-your-own-adventure game for iOS. Well, what if you like your choose-your-own-adventure games a little bit more full-cast audio, like a radio play? Unlike Multipath Audio, you actually have sound effects and music and, well, the whole shebang. And you can do that here on Codename Cygnus. This is a game that I've mentioned on several podcasts. Kind of a neat one to play. Great for headphone play. It's also low vision friendly in that it has white text on black backgrounds and very simple to maneuver around with voiceover as well. You can have the microphone enabled in order to give the command. So like in Multipath, which you could also do, have the microphone open and say what you want to do. I'd rather use voiceover for this demo, though that will make life a lot easier for everyone, I think. And we'll listen to the prologue And I'll not say anything more. We'll just jump right in so you can get an idea of what this is like as Codename Cygnus.
Prologue. Prologue. Extract yourself from the Krasnov mission. Read next. Button. Replay. Button. Replay. Alert. If you restart this episode, all saved progress beyond this episode will be erased. Cancel. Restart. Button. Restart. Now back up. Button.
Is your earpiece working properly, Agent? I believe we lost you for a moment. Don't disturb your cover at the card table, but please acknowledge that you can hear me. Request two cards this turn. Say, two cards.
Two cards. Button.
You
two
are
cards.
Good, friend. But not good enough for the likes of Vasi Markovich Krasnov.
Monsieur Krasnov raises 50,000.
This is too much for me.
Armano Tomasi falls. Excusez-moi, it is your turn, Parker. Are you in or out?
I see no point in you folding with a full house aces high. You could call the bet with a focused move or instead raise if you're feeling impulsive. Are you focused or impulsive?
Impulsive. But focused. Button. Impulsive. Button. Impulsive. Dimmed.
Jordan Parker sees 50,000 and raises another 50,000. Back to Monsieur Krasnov.
Governor!
Monsieur Krasnov falls.
Very well done, Agent. Perhaps you should compound your win with a flirtatious joke to a tablemate. There's the German player to your left, Lisette Schaefer. If you prefer to flirt with a gentleman, Mr. Armano Tomasi is the Italian to your right. Will it be lady or gentleman?
Lady. Button. Gentleman. Button.
How
gentleman.
Adorable. I can only imagine your passion for wit is as intense when alone.
Though I'm sure your amorous involvements would no doubt entertain me, I'm afraid we'll need to cut things short. I'm connecting you with Alexander at Cygnus HQ.
We're extracting you from the Parker cover immediately by order of Director Matthews. You're needed elsewhere for a crisis situation. To acknowledge that you heard these details, say, continue.
Continue. Butter.
Krasnov will not take it well if you cash out now. He's also not one to respect insincerity or excuses. To make a bold move, you can claim the competition is too weak to continue playing.
On the other hand, a more secretive option is simply to make an excuse and cash out. Bold or secretive?
Secretive. Bold. Button. Secretive. Button.
For
secretive.
Early departure, there is a very steep penalty fee, Parker. You do not want to run away in the middle of a game like a coward.
Looks like he's going to make this difficult. You could be charismatic with a joke about happily leaving a large tip, or you can be hostile and refuse to pay the fee. Charismatic or hostile?
Charismatic. But charismatic.
You think this is funny? No. You give me insult. No one dares to cross me.
Lighten up, Vasi. I see no insult you can't forgive.
You are now telling me my business, huh?
If your business is harassing our charming opponent, yes.
That is enough from you, paisan. Now, Fraulein, what shall we do with our friend Parker?
Get down, Agent. Down!
Down. Button. Down.
Careful. I want Parker alive.
Keep crawling, Agent. Get behind the bar. Keep your head down. They're getting closer, Agent. You have two options. Be athletic and disarm one as they near you, or take a clever approach and toss a lighter into that puddle of alcohol. Athletic or clever?
Clever. Button. Clever. Dimmed.
That worked perfectly. Seems you took out Schaefer.
A more formidable opponent than I expected. Do not think this is the end, Parker. We shall play again.
Your best exit is the window, Agent. You're two stories up, but there's an awning for a tobacco shop to break your fall. When you're ready, jump.
Jump. Button. Jump. Gimbal.
I knew those stories about you were true. That was amazing, Agent. But there's no time to waste. We have a hostage crisis for you to handle, and I'll brief you in transit. Your driver will arrive at your location for extraction in 3, 2, 1.
Prologue. Episode complete. Well done, Agent. Are you ready to save the hostages in the first episode of Mission 1? Find out what happens next in our show or listen to a preview in the episodes menu under Prologue.
Well, there you have it. That's the preview. And the prologue is free. So if you want to play that on your own and try different ways of playing, you can. You can also purchase Mission 1, which enables about 35 minutes, maybe an hour's worth of content. There's also a free Christmas episode, which is fun to replay as well. They keep saying that Mission 2 is coming out sometime this year. Of course, they've been saying that since the beginning of this year. So hopefully that will happen during 2015. It's a neat app. It's fun to play. It's good to go back and replay. You have statistics and there are Game Center achievements. So Codename Cygnus, a fun time for all, available in the iOS App Store now.
So I'm going to talk today about Twitter and Twitter on the web. That was one of those things you might be thinking, what, Twitter on the web? Why is he even messing with Twitter on the web? There's so many other options. Well, yes, I use Chicken Nugget as my Windows Twitter client. When I'm on my Android phone, I use Tweetings. When I'm on my iPad, I use Twitterific. But sometimes you're in a situation where you don't have one of those options. Say your phone is dead. Maybe you're at a friend's house. Maybe you're at a library or a computer lab where you don't have access to your own Twitter client or your own tools. Well, as it turns out, Twitter's web interface, like some modern web apps, actually isn't that bad. Let me show you how this exactly works. It's been around for a little while, but I don't think very many people actually use the thing. So I have NVDA currently.
33 Twitter Mozilla Firefox, 33 Twitter document, link 18.1k, new tweets available.
And I'm in Firefox here, and of course, this is the regular Twitter web page. I'm logged into the Blind Bargains Twitter account.
Link 2014, link followers, new link 5003, clickable heading level 3, user follow, dot button, refresh, dot link view all.
And you probably have seen it like this before, and if you just try to read down the Twitter web page this way, where you can see your tweets,
clickable trends heading level 3, new tweets, main landmark,
you can see
clickable
tweets and new tweets. Yeah, there's kind of a bit of a web interface, but it's probably a bit convoluted. The best way to do this may be to use Twitter's web interface, and I'll show you what I mean by that. I'm actually going to turn off the browse mode. And you just heard new tweets available. I'm going to show you what that means in a second. Twitter has its own set of commands, and I had to turn browse mode off to actually use these commands. For instance, to go to the previous tweet, I'm pressing J.
Humanware, the brilliant i32 Braille display providing the most Braille. Napoli, Napoli, 1-3 maximized. Hawaiian Electric at H double. Temporary tweeted NDIRT advocates.
I press K.
Hawaiian Electric at H. Napoli,
goes back the other way.
Humanware, H, the less 127.
Now, this is reading right through NVDA, and it will do the same thing in other screen readers as well. It is read right through. Now, of course, if you had your browse mode turned on, this wouldn't work, because those commands would be intercepted by your screen reader for your quick nav. Now, you hear it say new tweets available, press period to review. That's because new tweets aren't automatically added to the buffer. So I'm going to press period here.
Hey, the Shire Reckoning, Frodo and Hilulu, sorry, didn't get back to tweet.
And what it did now is it put me on the newest tweet. Now, one of the slight disadvantages here is I wish it would bring you onto the first new tweet as opposed to the
new
latest.
Press period to review them.
Because now I have to go back and figure out how many new tweets.
List Burns and List B Shadow. Neil Millican retweeted Dina Modi A3. Kelly Wickham with KJW810. There is victory for me. I just beat you.
There's many other commands you can do here as well. Say I wanted to retweet something. It's fine. Something I want to retweet.
6 Twitter document. Unknown. Dina Modi at Napoli 1 out. At Moyashi 88. Discovery Canada. Discovery Canada. Mark your calendars. A supermoon total lunar eclipse will rise September 27th.
That's kind of cool.
Retweets 1 favorite 5 minutes ago. 19 of 73 level 1. New tweets available. Press period to review them.
Let's actually retweet that. I'm just going to press T.
New tweets available. Press period to review them. Retweet this to your followers. Dialogue Discovery Canada at discoverycanada.5m 5 minutes ago. Mark your calendars. A supermoon total lunar eclipse will rise September 27th. HTTP. Button retweet. New tweets available. Button retweet.
Now, notice it actually put me back into browse mode because it popped up a dialog. That's fine. I'm going to press enter on that.
15 Twitter documents.
And as soon as I did that, it put me back into the web application view. Now, NVDA is really good at this, especially in Firefox. Other screen readers, depending on how well it works, you'll have to turn it on and off manually. Of course, in NVDA, that is NVDA plus space. In JAWS, it is insert Z. In Window Eyes, it is control shift A. These things sometimes work better when you have autoform interaction turned off, but in case you're in the wrong spot, that's how you get around that. Now, if you want to do a new tweet, you can just press N.
Compose new tweet dialog. Document. Clickable tweet text edit.
And the same thing. I am tweeting
from
on the Twitter web app. And to actually send it, you got to press Control Enter, because Enter would just add a blank line.
From the Twitter web app. Land.
So you do Control Enter to send a tweet. So it's actually just the opposite of what Chicken Nugget does. And I did that.
Twitter document.
And the tweet is sent.
List Ian Thornley. Discovery Canada. Discovery Canada. Mark your calendar.
There's many other commands here. You can actually press question mark to get a list of them.
Keyboard shortcuts dialog note. To use these shortcuts, users of screen readers may need to toggle off the virtual navigation. Shortcuts for common actions. Shortcuts for navigating between items and timelines. Shortcuts for navigating to different timelines or pages. Document. Close button note. To use these shortcuts, users note. To use these button close.
And of course, you can arrow up and down that.
Twitter document.
And here are the different things. Different commands. You can jump between timelines. You can jump to lists. You can jump to mentions. The go-to man is interesting. So you can do go-to and replies or mentions. So if you hit GR, you are now in your mentions. Now, there's no speech feedback here. And I wish there was. So these are mentions.
Jan Brown and Mandogeny at Lindbarkains don't have anything else to review but 6.labeler, which I wrote. Kelfin Dindar at Kelfin Media at Lindbarkains looking for a specific audio review about accessible and inaccessible apps. Follow for more information. Sep 21 4.
So there you go. Those are some people that have actually have mentioned us in the last day or two. And of course, you can go through them doing J and K just like I did before. You can also jump to settings. You can jump to profiles. You can also send direct messages and do things like that from this interface. You can mute users by pressing U. That's one of the more advanced features that's here. You can go through Twitter lists as well. And all of this speech is coming directly from Twitter to the screen reader. Twitter is just telling the screen reader what to say. And the screen reader, at least the modern ones, will do this. So JAWS, Window Eyes, and NVDA, and perhaps some others. I'm pretty sure this would work on the Mac with Safari as well. Although perhaps one of the Mac users could chime in here and let us know how it works on that side. It's not a perfect interface. I wish there was some more speech feedback. That little message that says new tweets are available, press period to review. I wish you could toggle that on and off because that does get a little obnoxious. There already is a way. If I go to home, which is GH, and I'm browsing through my latest tweets
list
here.
Office 300. Emily, Office 365 and Office 365 Myth 5. The cloud is too much to handle. Separate fact from fiction with the truth about moving to the cloud. https://cards.twitter.com/cards/29866.
Well, there are new tweets coming in. I know on the Blind Bargains account there are lots. But I can do insert T.
Free Twitter, Mozilla, Firefox.
That number there is the number of new tweets. So Twitter keeps updating the title bar every, half a minute or so.
New tweets available. Press period to review them.
So even more than that.
More Twitter, Mozilla.
Now there are four new tweets available. When I press period, I will see those four new tweets. So that's one way you can see, and that's just doing
new tweets available. Press period to review them.
Title command in your screen reader to figure that out. But that message is a bit obnoxious, so maybe you could replace it with a sound. That would be kind of cool. But hey, if nothing else, this is a really cool example of how a web interface can be used to make a web app accessible. Google Docs does this really well, and it's been improving quite a bit. Of course, there's some improvements with Office 365 as well. And Twitter's another app that has done that. So when you're seeing these modern web apps with keyboard shortcuts and wondering how you might do that, well, generally just turn off your browse mode or your virtual buffer, and then you can do a lot of these web apps. Now, Window Eyes actually has a command that you can use, a control insert A that lets you pass through everything but the arrow key. So some of the different screen readers are doing this a little bit differently, ways that you can access web apps. And still it's kind of some experimentation because we've traditionally used the keyboard keys for all this quick nav stuff in Windows. And of course, all the web apps also want to have these keys as well. So there's kind of some going back and forth on what the best way is to do this. it's really cool that we're seeing a lot more of these web apps become natively accessible and figuring out how that's going to work, because the web is going to be changing how we're using screen readers. We're going to be doing a lot more in the cloud. You're not going to have local apps anymore. So obviously we got to find ways to make these web apps work. And you don't just want to do it in a browse mode that is linear and not always dynamic. So that's the Twitter web interface. There's nothing you have to do to make that work. Just go to twitter.com and it's there. The keyboard shortcuts are near the top of the page on Twitter, and we'll link to them in our show notes at blindbargains.com.
In iOS 9, you can do some new things with Siri. Number one is you can actually use Hey Siri without having to plug in your device, which is possibly a battery draining thing, but still kind of neat. Two, you can have a voice for Siri that's different than the language. What do I mean by that? You can head on over to Settings and then go over to the general area, click on Siri, swipe on down, and you'll run into a control for language and a control for accent. So you can actually have minutes of fun going through and choosing different languages and different accents for Siri to read them in. Bored in line? This might actually kill some time to be able to hear a British accent with Chinese language. Yep, sounds like fun, and it's all available right there in iOS 9.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
This time out, I thought we would focus on some comments from previous episodes. Jay, a lot of people happen to like that demo you did about hooking up old Braille displays and giving them new life, these two comments that we have from that episode. Talk about cheap Chinese knockoffs, and somebody has an opinion about these things. Take a look.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple here. First, Buddy Brandon writes in talking a lot about the different Braille display chips. So this was episode number 30, where I was talking about how to use an older Braille display and how you can use it with Windows 7 or Windows whatever, something current, using some various cables. I recommended one from TripLight. There are others that are out there. And he says kind of what I said. Yes, there are some Chinese knockoffs of these cables. So you definitely want to be careful. I think I have a dead one at home that just doesn't work at all. So I would recommend you either get the one that I linked to from the original show notes, or look at Buddy's comment. He mentions one or two others that might work as well that you can make work. And he his comment is posted on the episode 30 show notes. But there are ways to make many older Braille displays work. Now, Alex was asking about an Optolec Voyager 70, which has this older USB port.
Oh, that is
but
an old
not
display.
A serial port. Mm.
Laptop fits right in there, or so it was said back then. Remember that one?
No.
That was the one that had the plastic folded out and you could set your laptop.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. It has the older USB port and nothing else, so no serial. I don't know if there's a way to make that work. Optolec is not supporting it, which is what he says, and that's the same thing that I found out, too, as far as some other stuff. What's the parent of Optolec? Where did because the Voyager was a rebranded.
Yes,
is it Tiemann?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was a Tiemann display.
That's the only thing I could think of. Is maybe if you go to them directly, they might have a workaround, but
or an updated driver that they called it something else, like it has some legacy support in it.
A lot of Braille displays, and this isn't unique to the U.S., but in case you haven't gone through this before, a lot of our Braille displays are rebranded something else from another country.
Correct.
Like the HumanWare ones used to be Baum's something.
Right. Now Pronto. HumanWare is their own. Pronto's a name that was once used by HumanWare in another guise. So, yes, there's a couple of those. Not now, but there were some actual Baum devices that were rebadged as HumanWare devices.
Well, even the refresher Braille was a Baum as well. And I say this in this case to say your Braille display may also have another name, which means it could have another avenue for support. So perhaps somebody else has an idea on this one, because I hate to throw away a 70-cell Braille display, especially those are not cheap.
Yeah, or keeping it on a machine that could be hacked to death with older software. And did you see AVG? AVG came out with an article saying that they would now start selling your browsing data and the like quite happily Hey, monetization, what can I say? But yeah, that was really interesting. So even if you go with an older computer with an older display and you go, well, I'll just get antivirus and I'll, you know, wall up that way. There's some, you know, things you have to think about in that direction as well. So unless you just want to take that off the internet and have it sit in a corner and just be your like embosser / creator, like I'm going to write a paper on it and then I'll save it onto a document, you know, and kick that off to something else and put it on a more modern computer. But even that has its own issues when you get into some things that are up, you know, from Word 97 would like to convert into something else. Speaking of converting, we have a comment from episode 29. Bree writes in and says that second year of math class and the college attending wasn't required to provide Braille for math. And that they tried to find accessible ways of doing math with the Office of Disabilities person, but they couldn't make it happen, not for lack of trying. What? Oh,
that's
no.
That's not correct.
No. Let me give you guys a tip. Sometimes reaching out to some of the larger universities, let's say University of Texas, Texas A&M, reaching out to some of the ones on the East Coast in Boston, reaching out to the National Federation of the Blind or ACB,
Michigan State,
talking to them especially. Or AER would be good to get some help. Even the Job Accommodation Network is another resource that you could reach out to. All organizations that are out there to help you find resources or help you gain a foot up on helping you get that locally, if not through the assistance of others, or at least getting resources, but definitely maybe to get that locally, because you probably won't be the only blind student going through who will need the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's a fortune. It's an advocate. Wrong. That's absolutely wrong.
The Office of Disabilities, you know, may also just, we look to them to be experts in this field, but sometimes they're not, and that there's nothing wrong with that. They're having to keep in mind what it's like for cognitive abilities or deaf or large print or any number of things. It's not just blindness that they had to be familiar with. So sometimes going out there and getting resources or helping them track that down can also assist. Now, that's not to say that what Bree here had was, you know, they did what they could, but there are other resources out there. So don't,
they may just be misinformed.
Yeah. Don't take no as an answer just yet.
No, out there are email lists. NFB has the NABS -L from the National Association of Blind Students, listserv that you can join.
That's another good one. That's a great resource.
Lots of people that have gone through the same situations. You can ask, you know, kind of what should I do type questions on a list like that to talk to other students that have already, been through the same situation. So
reach out to some rich high schools, because chances are they've done that too. So if you know of a big high school like a 5A in Texas or something like that, thinking of my old high school, Klein or Spring or others, they have dedicated disabilities departments as well, and they do a lot math anyway. So there's definitely resources out there than more than a Google search, because sometimes this is more of a pick up the phone or do a couple of, you know, emails kind of thing.
Advocacy. Agreed. But advocacy really is a fun and cool thing. You can get a lot accomplished with it.
You know, it's funny you say that. I ran into an Uber driver who was at the Orlando convention this year, and he was telling me a great story about what it was like to be the Uber driver at NFB 75, and how the bellmen there were helpful, because think of it this way: when you're standing outside waiting for a car to show up and hopefully they pick you up, and you text the driver and go, I'm blind, and he comes to a convention where there are like 3,000 blind people, he was like, it was very difficult. I wasn't really sure which one was. I mean, it's not like I could yell, where's
you
the blind one?
You can't say I'm the one with the cane. That's the usual description. Doesn't work. Yeah, definitely. So I would ask the bellman often to help him find which car was which one was which.
Exactly. And at least you know, you know, it tells you what kind of car they're driving. You don't always know the color sometimes, but you
not
know,
the color on Uber. Lyft will give you the color and Uber will not. And that was the thing that we mentioned in the focus groups for Uber. Hey, I want to do a quick little follow-up.
Yeah.
We had a tip a couple weeks back. Mm-hmm. Siri, you could ask it to give me a hint.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For the Apple event.
Right.
Well, the Apple event, it would give you a nice little snarky. It's over. Yep. It's over now. So what happens if you ask Siri that now? Let's try this. Give me a hint.
I think the cat's out of the bag now.
Oh. Well, there you go. So it still does work.
That's interesting. And I know there are people asking it right now. Why is my 6S sitting in a shipping dock and not in my hands already? It says it's in Memphis. Oh, wait. No. I might be hearing that because I have someone in my household who's waiting for her iPhone.
Did you hear there might be some delays on the East Coast because of the Pope's visit?
Yes, that is so hysterical. The Pope is delaying the iPhone for some people on the East Coast. And some people can't even get walk-ins, apparently, in China, Japan, and Hong Kong, and several states, like four states, can't get walk-in purchases for the iPhone. So that is interesting. Did you download iOS 9 on the day, the hour of release? Because I did, and I was with everybody in the servers.
I was actually in tablet transition at the moment, so I did not have any iDevice at that particular moment. But the one that was sent to me that I bought used came to me today and had 9 on it. So he updated that day and then sent it out, so I was much appreciative.
Apple's already said it's on 21%. Over 21% of their devices are already running iOS 9, which is kind of a good thing. Do you know also that Google thing we've talked about on September 29th is also going to be the same day that Tesla is going to announce the Roadster X? So that'll be great. That's a lot of tech news happening on that day. That's going to be interesting. So all that going around the corner. Also, Microsoft Band 2 pictures have leaked. So we'll have some Microsoft stuff to talk about in October.
Lots of possibilities.
That was nicely done. Possibilities. I swear maybe somebody has done that.
I think that was actually Campbell's or somebody else. It's not Olive Garden.
not Olive Garden. Top Ramen did it. No. Yes. Olive Garden last year had a pasta pass. And in the last word, the pasta pass is something that you can get, pay $100 and eat like almost continuously, like all the meals you would want for a certain amount of time through the pasta pass at Olive Garden. And that sounds like a lot of, my father said this once, that sounds like a lot of food from Sam's that's just heated up for my $25. And so so I always think of that when I hear that, my father rolling through my head. The pasta pass, also, if you did eat all that kind of food continuously, well, this is what would happen. There's a link not only to what happened with the pasta pass, which sold out in 45 minutes last year, so you better hop on it, but what will happen to you if you choose to do the I will eat all my 7 meals.
7 weeks? Yeah, 7 weeks of pasta.
Pasta.
I think you can get salads. Let's, you know.
No, why would you want something fresh and vegetable? That would be.
No, I'm not sure. Not all salads are created healthy. So
That's true.
Not entirely sure about these salads. But yeah, you can get unlimited. You know what? You can actually get to-go orders even, but only 1,500. That's too many. We already checked how many calories were in, you know, all the Big Macs. Big Macs. So
yes, that's a lot of pasta. I mean, a lot. I mean, really, honestly, that's wow, right? And I don't even think there's enough in the Olive Garden menu that I would like an order because. You know, you're going to start in one direction and then go, well, I feel like ziti today. I'd get bored. Let's do ziti. And
now, if somebody had an unlimited pizza pass, I think I'd be on it.
Well, okay, let's get this out there. Is there a national chain that's viable? Okay, you're not doing a local chain. Let's just all your options are just nationals. What is it? What's your national chain of choice?
It has to be one with enough variety. I would eat Jets. I would, but they aren't the cheapest pizza, so they probably wouldn't do it. Is there a food? Here's the question to people. Then is there a food or a restaurant that if they had an unlimited pass for a month or 2 months for a couple $100 that you would pay for it?
Right. That's not Golden Corral, which is already Golden Trough.
Yeah, unlimited Waffle House. Come on.
Whoa, that they serve their millionth waffle or their billionth waffle. I forget when it was. I think it was their billionth waffle at a Waffle House in Atlanta. So that's
because they're counting these. Of course, that's always.
I have not consumed a good number of those, but I end up getting hash browns all the way at Waffle House. That is the awesomest. But I, you know, the thing about that is there's always like little flecks of hash brown in my teeth. I had to brush my teeth, and I wish there was just a way of doing that accessibly.
We got a lot of talk about this on Twitter.
Oh,
we posted
did this blow up on Twitter? You've been good on Twitter lately of poking the bear. This is the second week in a row.
It's a Chinese patent. It actually was filed a couple years ago, but didn't get much attention. We kind of brought it up and unearthed it, thanks to our friend Kai. And yes, there is a Chinese patent out there for an accessible toothbrush which has braille directions to make sure that you're pointing the toothbrush in the correct direction, and it will give you repeated audio and braille reminders. Oh, and also help you make sure you get the toothpaste onto the toothbrush.
There's no way I can help you here without making it sound dirty, so I'm going to be very, there's some very bad, quiet.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty interesting comments. Some of them will go a bit there overboard. Some, you know, someone, I'd like to knock the inventor's teeth. I'd like to knock the inventor's teeth out.
That's an accessible way of dealing with it. An accessible way of cleaning dentures.
Pam says, unfortunately, this may say more about the than we need to know about the competence of the people in China. Well, man, that's a little mean.
Don't know, haven't been sure.
But lots of, follow us on Twitter and you will stay up on.
We'll see all that
the latest and news.
Much, much more. Even some crazy classifieds from time to time. Our readers are very astute and have caught some interesting things that have happened in some of our classifieds. And you can actually read them before Jay has to correct them if you follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/blindbargains. That's twitter.com/blindbargains. If you're wanting to know what I'm talking about very cryptically, you should actually go back to our tweet feed. It is very, very funny. It involves shipping. And you can find a lot of our show notes available, well, all of our show notes, really, at blindbargains.com. Head on over to the audio tab and go on down. Or you could do that right there from the Blind Bargains app, which is available for iOS and Android. iOS has just had an update.
Yeah, a little bug fix update, and fixing a few little things here and there. And Michael Doyce for sure a little update for that. So you can go check that out, the latest on iOS, whatever version you're running. It's 8 or 9 or whatever. It'll be there. You can also see me at a few different places if that's something you've been just dying to do for whatever crazy reason. But more importantly, you can see AT Guys products at the NFB of Georgia convention in Atlanta on October 9 to 11. Hot actually Atlanta. Even before that, Michigan Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired right here in Kalamazoo. That is this Friday, September 25.
Look at there
you go. October 1 to 3 is Michigan Parents of Visually Impaired conference. That's also in Kalamazoo. Atlanta I mentioned, and the New York Public Library, the Andrew Heiskell Braille and Talking Book Library, October 17. And we're hanging out with Chansey and other people over there. So that's what's on the schedule so far. We might add some more. If you have a cool event that happens to have lots of blind people attending it and you wanted to talk to one of us about showing up there, let us know.
Absolutely. And don't forget, if you like some of the products that we have mentioned once or twice on this particular show, atguys.com is a great place to be able to find a lot of those things. Christmas is coming up right around the corner. Do you know there's less than 13 Saturdays left? Have you made your gift buying guide gifts yet already?
No.
You could already start doing so by heading on over to atguys.com. If you like some of the things that I've been talking about, you can find a much more of it, including things about Doctor Who and other Doctor Who was so good last Saturday. Well, anyway, you can find out more about that over at twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word. That is my tweet feed, and you'll be able to find some of the stories before they hit this very show, or even stories that don't make this very show. And this week also had some really crazy music conversations with people after our Taylor Swift song, which I can't get out of my head still.
Oh, gosh.
I'm still hearing that song in my head. I don't even think I listen to Disturbed that often. I'm listening to this cover even more. But if you don't know what we're talking about, definitely head back to last week and check out Last Word.
That's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much to Patrick Perdue for making us sound better than we deserve. And thank you, all of you, for listening. We really appreciate it. We got Google and much more coming up, and a lot more in 34 and beyond. So definitely stay tuned to the Blind Bargains cast.
And until next time, we'll see you on the other side, gang.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.